If you don't spread the word, we can't spread the truth. Become a member of the Crusade Channel Boosters today at VeritasRadioNetwork.com/boost.
Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network, radio the way it should be, asking you to take 8 weeks of daily doses of the Founding Fathers' red pill, sprinkled with a few drops of holy water, unplug the matrix cable from the back of your head, claim your Philosophia Perdentis thinking skills, Neo, or were you looking at the woman in the red dress? Become members of the self-governing people of these Not So United States. It's not a job, folks. It's a way of life. Well, we would love to talk to you about the preceding. I got a basket full of email to get to here. Thank you for your correspondence. I'll treat that as a phone call. Write me, kingdude@mikechurch.com, and please consider becoming a Founders Pass member today. No kidding. No joshing. Our goal is 100 members a month, $2,000 in crowdfunding. Find all the information you can about volunteering here on the Veritas Radio Network and helping us grow, getting the word out, and all the things that we need to keep this going. Go to VeritasRadioNetwork.com. At the top of any page in the menu bar, if you click Veritas, that menu pops up. See the item Veritas SOS. Save our station. Click that joker. It'll take you right there to all the info. Appreciate all of you. As a matter of fact, I was going to go to give a couple of shout-outs today to new members. We'll do that in just a moment here. 844-527-8723, our telephone number. No new members to report today, but yesterday, Alan Spur, thank you. James Hain. Thank you, and Alejandra Villegas. Slim pickings this month, folks, but John Anderson, who stopped by the studio, actually. Thank you, gentlemen. To the Dude Maker Hotline, say hi to Debbie Schlussel from DebbieDoesPolitics.com with what is playing at the Paradise Theater this weekend. Hi, Debbie. How are you?
Hi. Good morning.
Hey, before we get started, let me tell you that I took your recommendation and went and saw the Mrs. Church and I on Tuesday, went and seen The Conjuring 2.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's great. I concur. It was spooky. It was creepy. I remained creeped out for hours afterward at the vision of that Carmelite nun-looking demon.
Yeah, that was kind of the scary... It was the scariest part of the movie was that particular character.
Yeah, she was horrifying, mortifying. I liked it so much, though, that I went and watched Conjuring 1 again because I had forgotten the story. And I think the Conjuring 1 might have been a half a rig and better, but the stories are still really, really good. And I'm delving now into the real-life work of the Warrens. So thanks for that review, my dear.
I do agree with you that the first one was better, but it's usually the case, I think, with these movies, and especially when there are sequels. But just so you know, there should be like a one-and-a-half sequel, I guess, if you would call it,
Annabelle.
Of the movie.
Yeah, we saw Annabelle.
All right. Yeah, that's what I was going to mention.
But they weren't in it. But Patrick Wilson and Pharma, gosh, what's her name?
Vera Farmiga.
Yeah, Vera Farmiga. They weren't in the Annabelle, were they?
There's a connection to it. The doll is in there. If you remember, they show their...
Right, I think at the end...
Menagerie and, of
Yeah,
stuff.
I think at the very end, Ed Warren makes the... that they go there and they assist in the end. But it's someone else that is counseling, though, the people that are being...
Right, there's a priest.
Right.
There's a priest, a Catholic priest, who's, I think, I don't remember who he's played by, but there's a Catholic priest that's helping them. But the doll, but it's from, the Annabelle movie is like from the Tales of the Warrens. I think it's one of their things they were somehow involved with, and that's how they get the story. And the doll, the Annabelle doll, is in their, you know, menagerie of stuff that they show at the end.
No, Mrs. Church looked it up. She said that the Annabelle doll is in the Vatican.
It is?
Yeah, that little relic is supposedly squirreled away in the Vatican or something. Anyways.
Well, in the movie, it's in their little
room. It's in their little room, right.
Yes.
Now, they do have the little room. And it's just fascinating, the, you know, the existence of demons, you know, your anathema-craving heretics like Eli Roth, make all these horrible movies, and they're all based on the fact that there's evil spirits in the world. And, you know, to Roth, there's no good other than the good of humanity. But it's just amazing to me that they acknowledge diabolical spirit forces, but they don't acknowledge angels. Anyways, what's playing at the theater this week?
All right, so this weekend, there's one good movie and then two horrible movies. The good movie is The Secret Life of Pets. This is animated. It's very cute, and there's a cute little Minions, you know, the Minions. There's a cute little Minions film, like, at the beginning before the movie starts. And then The Secret Life of Pets begins, and it's very cute. It's kind of like a Toy Story for pets. Basically, it takes place in New York City, and this dog is found on the street by this young girl, a girl that's like a young adult working girl, and she takes the dog to live with her in her building in New York City, and then she brings in another dog also that the little dog doesn't like because he's hogging up everything. And it's basically what happens when the owners go away for the day to work, and all the dogs wonder, where are owners going? Why are they leaving? And then it shows what the dogs and the other pets do during the day. And one of the dogs gets taken, or he escapes, and he ends up outside, and then the other dogs and other pets try to rescue him. It's very cute. It's very funny. There's little bathroom humor in it, but it's okay. It's fine for kids. If I had kids or a family, I would take them to see it. And I found it very enjoyable. I laughed a lot.
Okay. And what's this one called again?
It's called The Secret Life of Pets, and I would give it 2.5 Reagans.
Secret Life of Pets. Well, it's got to be better than, because I went to go see The Conjuring 2. I had to sit through the preview for Steven Spielberg's BYG.
BFG. Didn't we review that last week? I thought we did.
You did. You say you didn't like it.
I hated it.
Well, I'm looking at the preview and going like, this is the best. This is what you descended to, Stephen? Really? You know, in the preview, this is the best thing. This is the best experience of my life as a director. I'm like, no, it's not. I'm screaming at the screen going, no, it's not. It can't be.
It was so boring. It just was awful.
It looked heavy.
I mean, it wasn't bad for families with kids because they need stuff to take their kids to, but it wasn't a good movie.
Yeah.
Well, the kids will be bored. This kids will love. I thought this was amusing. It's colorful. It's got a lot going on. There are a lot of characters. It's good. Secret Life of Pets. Then there is Wiener Dog, which is one of these art house movies. Has Danny DeVito and Ellen Burstyn, and then a couple of other like art house kind of movie stars: Greta Gerwig, Julie Delpy. I hated this movie. This was absolutely dark, depressing, and awful, and complete garbage. And basically, the story is the movie follows this dog, a dachshund, who is taken from a rescue from a shelter, and it follows him when he goes to various different owners. And in each case, it's just depressing and dark. And the director focuses long scenes, endless scenes, like over and over and over, beating you over the head with it, of the dog vomit and feces all over the diarrhea all over the street. And then there's another scene where he just prolongs it, where the dog is being run over and over again, and you could see the bloody body. Who wants to see that? I don't. Now, there were some parts of the movie that were funny, but it was so dark and depressing and awful that I didn't care that I laughed a few times. It just was sick. So I give it, and I mean, the characters of the movie are like this family that doesn't believe in God, and the kid has cancer.
Great.
And
American of them.
Right, and another family where there's a Down syndrome son, and the father died of alcoholism, and the other son, who is a meth addict, comes to tell them.
Again, how American of them.
Died. I mean, it's just horrible. The only funny part that I thought was a true commentary on where our society, unfortunately, is going is where this girl, played by Zosia Mamet, goes to visit her blind grandmother, played by Ellen Burstyn, and she hasn't seen her grandmother in 3 years, but she comes to ask her for $10,000 for her black boyfriend's, whose name is Fantasy, for Fantasy's art installation using the bodies of dead animals and making them computerized.
The
only funny part, because that's like basically Kanye West or, you know, any of these people, but any of these horrible artists, so-called. But it was just a horrible movie, four Marxes plus. And then finally, there is Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates, which, by the way,
I saw the trailer.
We're in July, all right? The middle of July is supposed to be the height of box office releases. Is supposed to be the big movies, and this is the kind of junk and garbage we're being served up. So this last movie is Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates. Absolutely awful, a raunchy, juvenile, R-rated, crude movie about these two guys who are brothers, and they're screw-ups, and every time there's a family event, disaster happens because they screw it up with their antics. And so their parents tell them, your sister's getting married for her wedding, you have to bring dates, as if dates are going to calm them down and make them civilized. And the dates are Anna Kendrick and Aubrey Plaza, who are also juvenile and disgusting. And disaster, of course, ensues, and the movie is incredibly stupid. I don't really need to see some guy giving a massage to the bride-to-be where he basically has sex with her and does all kinds of manipulations. No, thank you. It's just gross.
What about from the trailer, the two huzzy tramps that they take as their dates? There's one scene from the trailer when the family's looking out the window and they're out by the pool and they moon everyone.
Well, if they did that in the trailer, it must have been before they edited the movie down, because I don't remember any mooning scene.
Yeah, well, there was a moon in it. Well, of course, they cut it right before you get to see the moon, but
yeah, I didn't see that part.
I don't remember
that part. I don't remember them mooning anyone, and I just saw it this week or last week. So I don't know that part, but just the rest of the movie is in that spirit, if you will. Four Marxes. By the way, next week we are going to have bigger movies. I wouldn't say necessarily better. I am looking to The Infiltrator, which is a true story about an undercover DEA agent who goes into Pablo Escobar's drug trafficking.
You mean Sean Penn?
I'm sorry?
You mean Sean Penn?
No, that's funny. That's actually accurate. But this one is with Bryan Cranston and John Leguizamo. And then also there's going to be the female feminist so-called reboot of Ghostbusters, which I don't think will be funny. The trailer looks awful. It got, I think, something like 2 million dislikes or something. And then the following week we have the Star Trek Beyond movie, and for the chicks, absolutely fabulous, AbFab.
I thought the Star Trek movie was this week.
No, July 22nd.
Okay, so, I'm going to go see that on a Thursday night midnight premiere. So I will have seen it when you go to review it on Friday.
All right, cool.
So sounds good. So we have something to look forward to, at least.
Yeah, and 2 weeks, one movie in an entire summer. I will have to say, there is one other movie I'm looking forward to, and it's called The Founder, and it's about Ray Kroc, the, I would say, the non-founder of McDonald's, who bought a McDonald's from the McDonald's brothers.
That's right. I believe
their name was McDonald's. And then he basically turned it into a giant corporation and made a ton of money. It stars Michael Keaton as Ray Kroc, and I'll be interested to see this. I don't know if it bears resemblance to reality, but I do know that the Crocs were incredibly liberal, and the Kroc Foundation funds stuff like National Palestinian Radio, a.k.a. NPR, and a lot of liberal and democratic, liberal-democratic causes. So I'll be interested to see what it shows in the movie. What I can tell from the trailer is it doesn't make Ray Kroc look very good. I'm going to do some research to see what kind of person he was and what I think he did and talk about it. But I'm looking for that movie, looking forward to that movie, and that comes out in August, which usually in the past has been the pet cemetery for bad movies,
right,
where Hollywood sends them to die. But occasionally in recent years, there have been a few good movies in August. So we'll see.
Sounds good. Read Debbie's blog every day of the week at DebbieDoesPolitics.com. We shall see you next Friday, my dear.
All right, and say a prayer for the five police officers that passed away and their families and the seven officers who were injured.
Absolutely, we'll do. Debbie, right. Thank you. See you next Friday. Folks, that concludes wheel number one of the Mike Church Show. Wheel number two, now don't. You didn't say the magic word. Don't you Newman me and tune out, because you're going to miss the conclusion of what I began. Will you go Carmelite or you go LGBTQ tranny? So I've only got a third of what we started. I'm not even going to be able to cram what I have left, but you're not going to want to miss it. And if you haven't signed up for a Founders Pass, why not do so today again? We are struggling very, very far behind in Founders Pass goals for July. And last month's crowdfunding effort was thanks to you who donated. We're thankful for that. Maybe we'll pray to do a better, we'll have better success this month. And if you like what you're hearing here on the Crusade Channel, the easiest, most convenient way to listen to the Veritas Radio Network is to download our apps in the Windows Phone App Store, the iTunes Store for iPhone and iPad, and the Google Play Store for Android devices. The app's just $1.99 and gives you fingertip access to the Crusade Channel live stream, Crusade Channel host bios, showtimes, Twitter and Facebook feeds, and the all-new Crusade Channel preview feed, allowing you effortless playback of hours upon hours and hours of your favorite Crusade Channel content without ever leaving the app. So download our app today. And please consider rating the Veritas Radio Network app. Our smartphone app delivers the Crusade Channel anywhere your mobile device works. The Veritas Radio Network app, mobile radio the way it should be. It's the Mike Church Show on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. Radio the way it should be.